In Mark chapter 7, starting in verse number 20, verse number 29, verse number 30. And when she came to her house, she'd found the demon gone out of her daughter lying on the bed. 31, there you go. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus has just, done the supernatural, performed the supernatural. And there's a great story that leads into this. But now where we're going is, he's in the region of Tyre and Sidon. So if you're familiar with what Israel looks like, this is on the west coast, it's on the Mediterranean. So he's on the coast of Israel. And during Jesus' lifetime, the majority of the time that he'd spent and the majority of the miracles that you see are all around the region of Galilee, which is on the eastern part. So he's right now on the western coast of Israel at Tyre and Sidon. But he's departing from that region of Tyre and Sidon. And he's coming back towards the area of Sea of Galilee. And he's coming back on the northern part of the lake. And it says, through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Verse number 32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he, Jesus, took him aside from the multitude, put his finger in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he said to him, so this is the word that Jesus spoke to the man who could not hear, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. So this is just another one of the miracles that we see that Jesus took place. But there's several things that I want us to really kind of focus on today and look at this specific miracle that took place. So first of all, we have Jesus. He's coming right back to the region. Now, he just performed a miracle. And the woman that he performed the miracle for that just led up to this was a Greek. She was not a Jew. So that is the region that he was in where there was more Greeks. Now he's coming back to, and where there was not as often people standing in faith. But now he's coming back to that region where he saw so much faith. He saw so many people responding to the faith. He's back in that area of the Sea of Galilee. And as he's on his way to the Sea of Galilee, and you have to understand also that when Jesus, when you read the Gospels, you can see, especially as we get later into the Gospels, you can see that when Jesus went places, people came from all around because they heard, they were talking about, they had heard of the miracles that he had done. And we see that with the disciples. Sometimes they could not get away, even to rest. They would try to get away to rest, but the people would follow, or the people would see where they were going, and they would head that way themselves because they wanted. Some wanted Jesus. Some wanted more of God. Most of them just wanted to get fed. They were looking for the physical things, to get fed supernaturally, to hear words of truth, and to receive the supernatural, to see, receive miracles in their lives. But you can tell that when they heard the word, when Jesus would share and teach the word and preach the word, they were enthralled. They would stay. They would absorb the word. So as Jesus is moving through the region, people come. If they know Jesus is coming to the area, they will go to where he is. And that's what we see taking place here. So they brought to him someone who was deaf and had an impediment with his speech. And they begged Jesus to put his hands on him. Now here's the first thing that Jesus does. The first thing he does, because here is the multitude of people. They're all gathering around. And some of them have brought this man who's deaf and has a speech impediment because he can't hear. And maybe there was even an issue with his tongue. We don't know. We just know that he was deaf, and we know that he could not speak, at least not plainly. So these people, amidst the multitude, bring this man who's deaf and has a speech impediment to Jesus. And they beg him to put his hands, or his hand, on him. They're begging Jesus to heal and deliver this man. So these people obviously have great faith that Jesus, they've seen it, they've heard it, they believe that Jesus can heal and restore, that this man can be restored. But look what Jesus does. He removes the man from the multitude, takes him away from the multitude and away from the eyes of everyone else and away from the influence of everyone else. He put his fingers in the man's ear. He spat and touched his tongue. Now, one of the things that I've sometimes seen people do is, you know, if you want to pray for someone that is deaf or pray for someone that has a speech impediment, And this doesn't mean that you stick your finger in their ear, and you spit and touch their tongue and they'll be healed. These are things that Jesus knows the heart of the man. Now, clearly the people who have brought this man clearly know. They clearly believe that Jesus can heal them. But this man has to believe it himself. This man has to have some faith. And what Jesus is doing is giving him some faith, giving him a reason, giving him something that he can move his faith in. Because it always takes an action of faith. He has to believe that he can hear. So he's just doing something to bring him. Jesus knows exactly what is going to be the trigger point for each individual. Jesus wants this man to receive the blessing, the healing, the supernatural gift that he has to give. Just as Jesus wants you to receive the supernatural deliverance, the encouragement, the hope, the joy, the peace, all the good things he has for you. He wants you desperately. He paid a high price for you to have it. He wants desperately for you because he loves you. He wants you to have those good things. And he will do whatever it takes for us to receive those good things. But we've got a part to play. We have to be willing to receive, and we have to believe to receive. Now, you can look and see that when Jesus healed others who were deaf or who were blind, he did different things. He didn't do the same thing all the time. Why? Because it's not a step one if you follow this procedure. Here's the procedure for healing someone who is deaf. You do this step A, step B, step C, step D, and then they're healed. It's not a procedure that you do. That's not the way it works. The way it works is he has provided. He is Jesus. He's God in the flesh. He is, now, since the time of these healings, he's actually provided. At this point, he had not yet defeated sin and death. And so sickness still reigned. But because he's God in the flesh, he has the power and the authority that comes from the Father. We now have the power and authority that comes from Jesus' name, who is victorious. But here in this case, when he would heal someone, he had the power and authority. He just needed to do whatever it took, and he knows the heart of the individual. He would do whatever it took to get that person's focus in faith upon him, to stretch their faith and to believe that they're healed. So you can see he does things differently with different individuals because he knows their hearts. So that's why he does this. So the first thing he does is he removes the man from the multitudes. So all the influences, and some of those influences are not healthy influences, some of those influences obviously are going to be doubt or scorners. We see that in the multitudes. He's removing that man from all of that so that that man can focus just on Jesus. Listen, there is so much noise that is around you. There is so much that is being spoken. There is so much that's being demonstrated. There's so much that's being lived out around you that is all contrary to the word and contrary to faith. And it erodes our ability to stand in faith. We have so much influence around us that is opposed to the word, contrary to the word, and counters our faith. Now sometimes, just like this, we just need to get removed from all of that. We need to remove ourselves from the noise. Remove yourself from all the things that are opposed to the word or that are contrary to the word or that would counter your faith. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's bringing this man away from the multitudes so that the man can focus on one thing and one thing only: Jesus and his word. That's what we need to do as well. Focus on Jesus and his word. So he put his fingers in his ears, and then he spat and touched his tongue. So Jesus is putting his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit on his finger, touched the man's tongue. But notice with all of that, he wasn't healed. It's not the spit of Jesus. It's not his fingers in the ears that brought the healing. Notice he did all that, and the healing isn't done yet. The man didn't get healed when those things happened. This is to bring the man away. He brought him away from the multitudes. He's bringing him away from all the influences that are contrary to faith and to the word. And now he's giving him something. He's doing something to focus this man on faith. Then, looking up to heaven, here's Jesus. He's looking up to heaven. He sighed. And he said, he sighed. Well, first of all, he sighed. Jesus was living in this flesh. Jesus is part of the Trinity. Jesus was part of creation. He's part of the Trinity that created all things and that created the perfect world, unblemished. Jesus is God in the flesh, part of that triune nature of God. But here's Jesus in the flesh, living in this flesh, in this fallen world, looking up to heaven, he sighed. Boy, I believe that. Because it had to just be for the flesh, it had to be weary to see everything. For Jesus, God in the flesh, to see everything that was so counter, so contrary to the good, to the beauty, to the great things that God had created and had planned. Had to be looking at this man. God has so much more. I have so much more for you, and I want you to have it and to enjoy it. You can just see the emotions that Jesus had. So looking up to heaven, sighing because of this fallen world and the results of the fallen world. Part of the results standing right there in front of him, a man who cannot speak and cannot hear. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, to be opened. Jesus spoke the words and said, "Be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and immediately the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Both of these things are supernatural. For this man, first of all, to be able to hear when he could not hear. This is a supernatural restoration of whatever was damaged. Maybe he was born that way. Maybe he was born and had some kind of genetic defect where he didn't have all the implements of the ear. Maybe they were damaged, whatever the case might be. Maybe there was brain damage, whatever the case might be. There was something significant there that caused him to not be able to hear. Instantly, Jesus healed that, restored it. This is what Jesus can do. This is what he can do for you. This is what his word says, and this is what the word does. But equally as supernatural is the fact that that man could speak plainly. Because to be able to speak plainly, he'd never heard. How does he know how to speak? How does he know how to speak the words? He can't hear. To know how to have a language, you have to be able to hear it. He can't hear. Supernatural, that God gave him the supernatural wisdom and ability to be able to speak and communicate, not with confusion, but plainly. And this is because he looked up, he looked to heaven. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. But this is what I would encourage you to do today. If you want to see the supernatural that Jesus has for you, and he has it for you, remove yourself, as Jesus removed this man from the multitudes, remove yourself from all of that which is causing you to look away from God. Jesus looked to heaven. He removed this man. Remove yourself from everything that is counter to faith and is contrary to the word. Remove yourself from those things and look to heaven. Then we'll look at this further, exactly what Jesus did. But what he did for this man, he will do in deliverance for you and I as well, whatever our need might be.